What's up, guys, and welcome to the first episode of the Pickleball Connection podcast, a podcast for the pickleball curious as well as the pickleball fanatic.
On this podcast, our aim is to connect you to the pro pickleball scene in a digestible way. Also, we're going to connect you with influential pickleball personalities and business owners, and even break down some real life scenarios and controversies that might happen at your local pickleball rec nights. That should be pretty entertaining. So buckle up as we increase your connection to America's fastest growing sport. Hey, real quick before we jump in, we just want to mention Selkirk's Nets. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting in pickleball, Selkirk has the best nets available. Not only are they the preferred net of the PPA Tour, but there are many options for all pickleball levels. If you're just starting out and wanting to grab a pickleball net, go to selkirk.com/collection/nets to find the best nets on the market. Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm Barrett, here with my co-host Danae, who also happens to be my wife.
And we're both super excited to be hanging out with you guys today.
Yeah, we're super pumped to get into today's episode. Danae, do you want to tell them a little bit about what we're going to go after in today's episode?
Yeah, so today's episode we are going to call a Cruise the News episode, or CTN. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to check out all the pickleball forums and articles on the latest news, maybe the juiciest goss, and kind of chat about it today.
I love it. This is probably, we're going to do a couple different types of podcasts. I have a feeling this is probably going to be one of my favorites. So let's hop into it.
Let's do it. So the first kind of forum post that I want to bring up, this got a lot of traction, and it has to do with pickleball rec play. So me and Barrett, obviously, we play pickleball, and we've had our fair share of rec nights, and I have a feeling you're going to love this. So I'm going to keep this person anonymous. So they said in this forum post, looking for some rule clarifying. Today in rec play, I hit a high third shot drop. I knew the other team would slam it. So while the ball was in mid-flight, I said loudly, "Watch out." So my partner knew that it was a bad drop. The other team hit the ball into the net and then mentioned to me that it was technically a verbal distraction.
Uh-oh.
And in a tournament, a ref would have called a verbal fault. Is this true?
I'm not going to lie. I have a little bit of a personal vindication.
You should tell them this story because okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, all right. So I'm going to break this story down for you real quick. I was playing a tournament. This was probably 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And in this tournament, I'm playing men's doubles. We are winning the game pretty handily. Like we'll probably have like a 7-point lead. And basically we win this point. There's no ref there because this wasn't a medal match. So there's no ref there. And we win the point, and a player from the other team says that was a verbal distraction or hindrance from a sound. Now, this sound didn't even come from us, but he said a player from another court next to him talked during his backswing, and it made him miss the shot.
And you guys, this was so crazy because I was actually watching this match. I was watching this all go down. We are at a tournament where there's like 12 courts of people playing. And if you guys know, like even at rec courts, people are like, yeah, you know, making noise. And literally the noise was just somebody either yelling out or yelling something. And this guy like tried to basically negate this point because somebody yelled during his backswing.
Someone messed his swing up because they talked during his backswing. And I'm like, there's balls rolling on courts. There's sounds coming. Like, I didn't hear it. But anyways, so I have a little bit of a personal vendetta against the verbal distraction. I do get that if someone maybe on the opposite side of the net, if you're playing a game and they were to like intentionally yell in a way that's trying to hinder you, okay, maybe there's something there. But I do think that it's a hard thing to call. And I don't know. Have you ever experienced a verbal distraction?
No, I really haven't. And so if I don't know if you guys actually know the official rules. So I'm going to break it down for you. Now, when it comes to verbal hindrances, you're allowed to communicate with your partner on the court. So anytime that you say a ball is out or you say watch it or anything, you can yell that actually as loud as you'd like because you're actually communicating with your partner. What you can't do is you can't yell like a name or like something random because that's actually not communicating with your partner. So that's the caveat that you guys have to understand when it comes to verbal hindrances on the court. So in this situation, for you, like you guys weren't doing anything. So they can't call a hindrance on you because
Right, like
you guys.
what did you want us to do differently there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You didn't do anything. Now, if you had yelled out something random, then sure. But you are allowed to communicate with your partner on court. You absolutely are.
But going back to this was at a rec night, which I find kind of funny. Like,
I love that this happened at a rec night,
this
actually.
wasn't like a tournament. Like, I don't know what they were playing for. Was it wasn't
Love
just
that this
playing
was
for
rec.
pride? Was this person super competitive? I don't know, but I would have loved to see it, if I'm honest.
So let's talk about this rec night. What would you do in that situation?
So you're saying I'm playing at a rec night and somebody yells in my backswing, or?
Yeah, he said, watch out to his partner. Like, how do you handle that situation?
What this? If, watch out to his partner. I'm not gonna.
Yeah,
There's nothing going wrong there. I mean,
nothing
the
wrong.
only way that I would mention a verbal distraction of any sorts would be if somebody yelled, intentionally trying to like spook me or mess me up, but I've never seen that happen.
Basically, you should never be calling verbal distraction that rec night. Hot take.
Let's just leave it right there. Just leave it right there. So I want to hear from you guys though. Like, let us know in the comments or of the YouTube video if you've ever experienced this. Have you ever experienced a verbal distraction? I don't know. Interesting, but I saw this post that you mentioned about on the kitchen, and it a lot of comments, a lot of feedback. So people were opinionated for sure.
I think we have another article that we want to bring up, right?
Yeah, let's move to the next one. This one I also have a personal attachment to.
Oh.
This next forum post that we're going to talk to comes from Reddit. Now, are you into Reddit?
So, confession, I think Reddit is hysterical.
I have not really been into Reddit very much, but I will tell you, I've started to get into a little bit more, and you can get lost in some of the threads.
Yeah, you gotta
Like,
watch out.
it's
It's
hilarious.
very unfiltered.
So if you really want to, pro tip, if you really want some just free entertainment and you like pickleball, just type in pickleball to Reddit and just go get lost in the threads. It's hilarious, actually. So this one comes from Reddit. And it was a very simple question that somebody asked. I think they posted that it about a week ago. And it had to do with pickleball injuries. And it basically said something along the lines of how many of you guys have experienced an injury? And hundreds of comments, like just comment after comment after comment. And I personally recently got injured. I tore my calf muscle. Ugh, it was not fun. But I was shocked that anywhere I would go and I would tell people, they'd ask me what happened because I was wearing like a walking boot. And they'd ask me what happened. And I'd tell them I tore my calf muscle playing pickleball. And they would always say the same thing. They'd always say, everyone keeps getting injured playing pickleball. Have you heard a lot about a lot of pickleball injuries?
I hadn't heard much, but there was a post that went out on social media that talked about like this crazy percentage of people getting injured. And so I feel like that was kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, it was really interesting, honestly, listening to like some of the comments in this thread, and you did see kind of like a common thread of things that of injuries. So I kind of dug into it a little bit more. I actually came across an article on ACSH dot org. I think it's the American Health and Science Institute or something like that. And it was basically talking about injuries. And it confirmed that like the most common pickleball injuries reported are Achilles, calf, which happened to me, hamstrings. So it's like that whole
dude. Those are all like terrible injuries. Yeah. Like those are all really serious.
And then the other two that it mentioned were like knees, meniscus, and eyes, which I want to talk to you about this because this whole article went into like the basis of the article was this need for eye protection in pickleball.
Oh my gosh.
What are your thoughts on eye protection?
Bro, have you ever played against somebody with a DLAM paddle?
I have. I haven't played it. I've hit with somebody with. I haven't played like an actual
tournament match. For those of you who don't know what I'm saying, DLAM, I mean a delaminated paddle. So I'm going to give you the quickest overview. If you're a paddle head or a paddle gear person, do not come after me for this because I'm just going to lightly go over it. So there's a process called delamination that can happen to some paddles where after time and wear and tear, the paddle almost gets hotter, aka like it almost turns into like a trampoline. Like the ball will get like literally bounce off the paddle faster. And so we've been seeing this happen to a lot of paddles, and basically the paddles get really hot and the ball like just bounces off of it, so it deflects off of it really fast. And it's creating faster balls. So if you've ever like played against somebody at a rec court or maybe even a tournament where like they'll hit the ball and it comes like ungodly fast.
Well, and it sounds different.
It sounds like a shotgun.
Yeah.
Literally sounds like a shotgun. That's a delaminated paddle. So all that to say, it freaking scares me. I don't know why I'm gifted. My eye is a magnet for a ball. Like I've gotten hit in the face so many times.
I've seen you get hit a couple times. You came home like a week ago.
Dude,
or something.
My nose is bruised right now because I got hit in the face. Yeah. Like right now I have a bruise on my nose. And so I am like so pro eye protection. And I've told you before, I play more confident when I have like my sunglasses on or something because I just have gotten hit in the face way too much.
Right. And so like what's interesting is, you know, we're starting to see an increase in eye protection, even amongst the pros. If you guys do watch the pro scene, you'll kind of notice, especially you see it even more in indoor tournaments. I don't know.
Dude.
The ball plays faster indoors. So.
Did you listen to Jimmy? Call?
What?
I was listening to King of the Court. And I love Jimmy Miller. He's awesome. But he was talking about Rachel Rohrabacher wore these like really round glasses and he called her a librarian. And I was dying.
Yeah.
But the reason why she wore them was partly because of eye protection.
Right. Right.
And indoors, the ball travels like it feels fast.
Right. Absolutely. And so like, you know, obviously eye injuries maybe aren't as common as a smaller area to hit. So it's maybe not as common as like a hamstring or calf or something like that. But the liability, like, you know, there's much more potential life altering damage that could happen if you got hit really hardly in the eye. And what this article talked about is, you know, obviously the ball isn't moving as fast, quote unquote, as like a tennis ball in terms of miles per hour, but you're playing at such a close distance.
Yeah. Like think about it. A tennis court, I don't even know how big a tennis court is, but a pickleball court's what? Like half the size? I don't even know. Someone's going to yell at me for this.
Yeah. I mean, it's significantly smaller. So that's one thing, but
it's shorter. Like you're playing at the kitchen line. It's
exactly.
14
so that's,
feet.
That's what I was going to say. A lot of these rallies are happening in, and you have these pro former tennis players that are ripping the ball at you from 14 feet away. And so the problem is that
with hot paddles.
Yeah. And this article talks that they said like the average volley in pickleball sits anywhere from 30 to 35, I think, miles per hour. So when you're 14 feet away, it gives you a 0.24 second reaction time is what the article says. So
not a ton.
I also think this is why you're seeing a bunch of injuries is because though you're not, you know, if the ball's not traveling in miles per hour as fast as a tennis ball, you are playing so much closer than you are, and you're not having time to really run and set up for a shot. It's a lot more fast twitch, quick twitch type movements. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why, and also I call pickleball kind of like a comeback sport. So you have a bunch of like former athletes that are like wanting to come back into sports.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, so like, you know, pickleball kind of got a bad rap for being like an elderly sport. But if you watch professional pickleball, it is a very...
It is no joke.
It's a highly athletic sport.
It's no joke.
The higher the level it gets, it becomes increasingly more and more athletic. But you have a bunch of former athletes that maybe haven't used those fast twitch, quick twitch muscles before. Mm-hmm. I think that's why you're seeing a spike in injuries for those quick type movements.
Yeah.
But the same, I mean, I agree with you. I think we're going to start seeing more and more eye protection.
Are you going to wear eye protection?
I just don't know. I don't think.
I'm going to call you out on this podcast. Are you going to wear eye protection?
I don't think. I mean, I might have to learn the hard way. I don't know. To be fair.
You haven't gotten hit in the face, dude.
I haven't really gotten hit in the face as much as you have. And I don't know what it is. I don't know, like you said, why your face is a magnet.
Dude, it's a magnet.
The ball finds your face.
It's so bad.
But yeah, I've seen you get hit in the eye as well.
I know. I've gotten hit. Literally my eyeball. Yeah. I had to stop playing. My eye was like.
Yeah. And guys, we're not trying to scare you away from playing pickleball if you've never played before. But it can be good things to think about, you know, just taking preventative measures, whether that's like stretching for, you know, your posterior chain. It sounds like a lot of injuries happen in the hamstrings, calves, Achilles. And then also just, you know, even wearing a hat, maybe like I think that's for me, like I wear a hat. I don't wear glasses, but I feel more protected because I have the bill of my hat, whether that actually can protect me or not.
Also warm up and not just your shots, but warm up your body. I know some physical therapists can be really happy I said that.
Yeah.
We often warm up shots, but that doesn't mean you're warming up your lateral side to side movement and all that stuff. So all that makes a big difference.
Yeah. I'm in physical therapy right now for my calf, and my physical therapist has been getting into pickleball. And one of the things he told me the other day, he said, my biggest frustration with pickleball is that people think dinking is warming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because that's how we warm up. We go to the courts, we just kind of dink the ball back and forth. Oh, I'm ready, you know, but they don't actually warm up their muscles. So I think that's another reason why you're seeing a lot of injuries. But yeah, with eye protection, are you thinking that you're going to wear like the clear, like,
dude, I'm into the gogs. Give me some gogs.
Guys, somebody, let's get this woman some.
Give me some gogs.
You need to wear them on the next podcast.
Here's the thing. I actually really, I do wear sunglasses. Anytime I play outside, I pretty much wear sunglasses if it's daylight. Indoor, I've been playing indoor as of recent, and I want some like those clear goggles. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm going to rock them.
You're going to rock like, you know, that it's kind of like that, the visor with like the clear glasses.
Dude,
like,
I don't care.
Like a lot of pro. Like
my eyes are important.
It's very true. Say. You have beautiful eyes, by
the way. Thank you. That was good.
Gotta slip that in there. Anyways. So I think we're going to start seeing more and more glasses pop up, more and more eye protection. I don't know if I will ever be one of those guys, but I would.
Just wait.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see. All right. So speaking of the pro scene and how we're seeing, you know, more and more eye protection pop up amongst the pros, there's also something I've kind of been noticing about the pro scene this year. I don't know, for those of you that don't follow pro pickleball yet.
First off, there is pro pickleball. People don't know that.
It's wild. You know, and that's the thing, you know, sometimes you can forget if you're a higher level, you know, more pickleball fanatic, that they're 98% of the pickleball population is not playing at a high level or watching pro pickleball. But of the, you know, what is it? 36 million?
Dude, I don't know. It's a lot.
And growing players. Most of them aren't even aware that there's a pro pickleball scene. So you can type into YouTube PPA Tour. Or you can go download the Selkirk TV app. Selkirk TV has great resources where you can learn about pickleball. You can watch pickleball, stream it, if you want to kind of check out what it looks like on the pro level. So anyways, on the pro level, one of the things I've been noticing this year is there's a lot of upsets happening, meaning top players like Ben Johns would be considered probably the number one player in the world. He's gone down a couple times this year.
Who's historically been on top for a very long time. I mean, he's won most of the tournaments in the past 4 years, I want to say.
Right.
3 or 4 years.
So, like, I was going to ask, why do you think we're seeing more upsets? Because last year in the pro pickleball scene, you know, we saw the same players kind of on top.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to see that less and less. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think when you're having a bigger player pool, so, you know, the smaller the pool is, the easier it is to stay on top. But now there's more players coming in. But if I'm being honest, like, I also think the game is changing a little bit now that we're having, you know, a lot more tennis influence. And just honestly, really good athletes come in. We're having younger athletes come in and really adapt to the game. That's really fast. And honestly, I think paddle technology has come so far that it's changed the game.
Right.
And so I think the game's gotten faster. It's maybe less of that methodical thinking. There's still a lot of that, but it's way different than when we started watching pro pickleball back in 2020. The game's completely changed. And so I really do think that the player pool growing and then also the technology advancing has contributed to the game changing, which now we're seeing people who have been dominating this game in the past 4 years now are starting to fall here and there. They're still obviously I would still say Ben Johns is dominant. I would still say Annalee Waters and Catherine Parento are dominant, but I do think that we will continue to see some upsets.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, the talent level, the athleticism is rising. I love the point that you made about the younger kids. We're starting to see, we know a young kid who doesn't have a tennis background that's training multiple days a week to go pro. And we're about to, you know, we have a lot of former tennis players.
High level. Very high level
that are getting into the sport, but we're also going to see a generation of pickleball bred
purists
that don't come from another sport, but their sport is and has always been pickleball, which will be exciting.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really cool. Like Barrett said, if you guys want to check out some of the pro, you know, matches and stuff, Selkirk TV is a great spot. And you guys will be shocked. And honestly, if you ever have a PPA tournament event, go watch them in person. Like, you almost, I feel like watching it on a screen, it actually doesn't do it justice. The first time I saw pros in person, I was shock and awe. Shock and awe.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're excited to, in the course of this podcast, we want to give you very practical, fun game-like scenarios that might apply to your rec night, but we also want to keep you kind of in the loop with the pro scene. So glad to do that. It'll be fun to see how that continues to change and to grow. Another thing that we want to really do on this podcast moving forward is we want to just provide a tip of the day or a tip of the episode, kind of giving you a tip on how to you can increase in your level and grow in your pickleball game and knowledge. And so moving forward, the way that we want to do that is we want to answer your questions, and your questions meaning the listener. So as you're listening to this, if you have any questions you want us to answer, go over on this podcast, please do type them into the comments on the YouTube video. And we'd love to get to those throughout the podcast. So
so for today's tip of the day, I think Barrett's going to share actually a really great beginner tip. So if you're just starting to play pickleball, listen up, because this could be really helpful for you.
Yeah. So a beginner tip, what I would say is if one of the biggest ways to get better, this is for a beginner that's wanting to actually get better. So maybe you just started and because I understand this, there's the beginners that want to just play for fun, and there's the beginners that actually want to get better. My tip for you, if you're in that second category of, you know, you just started and you really want to get better, is to play against better people. And I know that that sounds very like simple, but the best way to get better is to go play against better people. Now that can be challenging because sometimes the better people only want to play with better people, which is understandable. That's kind of a whole nother topic in itself. But yeah, I would just say if you're a beginner just starting out, you know, try to get around people that have been playing longer than you. And ask some questions, see if you can hop in a game with them and be really open to feedback because the game, like you mentioned, the game is really evolving and the best players, that players that progress the fastest, are like sponges. You know, they just absorb anything they can from people that have been playing longer than them. So that would be a piece of beginner advice I would have for you.
And another great resource, honestly, is you could check out Selkirk has a ton of resources. Selkirk TV offers courses. And I would also check out playpickleball.com YouTube channel that has a ton of, you know, tutorials, drills, and stuff like that. We're kind of biased to that. But
yeah, absolutely.
You guys should totally check out those resources. They are all incredible.
Yeah. That would be tip 1B or tip number two. Would
tip
be
one and a half.
Would be to drill and not just play games. So easy when you first start to just play games. But yeah, you could check out playpickleball.com, our most recent video on two-person pickleball drills. So it'd be a great place to start. So yeah, that's kind of all I've got for today. You got anything else?
That's our wrap.
Awesome. Well, man, we look forward to seeing you guys on the next episode of the Pickleball Connection. And be sure to send us those comments and questions.
We'll see you guys in the next one. Thanks so much for watching, guys. Make sure that you like and subscribe to the Selkirk TV channel. And catch us on the next episode of the Pickleball Connection podcast.